Good evening and welcome to Stanley Heights Baptist Church. So glad you're with us during this missions month. Let's stand and we'll sing number 372, The Blessing It Is, Living for Jesus.
Tonight it's congregational care meeting, and as well we'll have a number or two presentations that will just highlight missions for us tonight. If you're a guest for the very first time, we have for you a Connection Point booklet. If you'll raise your hand, the ushers will pass by, give one of these to you. It'll tell you about Stanley Heights, and inside of it there's a card. If you will complete the guest card side, put it in an offering box to your right or behind you, and we'll send you a thank you note this week thanking you for being our guest. All right. Okay. With that said, let me just point out as far as announcements. Boy, what a great start this morning. Wasn't it a great start to our missions month? And so really grateful. Our home builders class was the host for the Maldoff family today. And thank you for doing that, home builders class. And there are things in your bulletin you want to make note of. Pastor Alexander this morning had one of those Nerf Wars, and there's one here, one of those Nerf Wars things for Saturday, kids third grade and up. And he mentioned this, you have to determine what up is. So you all that are septuagenarians, you can, if you want to play, I think you can get away with playing if you're a septuagenarian. And so I guess if you want to, you have at it. So the other things you'll, of course, we talk about congregational care groups tonight. You see the schedule of what this month will be for Missions Month. And beyond that, I think that's really all that we need to know. Our core value today is relational. We are committed to the core. This is growing and developing in a relationship with God personally, and then investing in meaningful relationships with other people. So that's who we want to be. And let's say together 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, lifting our voices. And then after that, we will pray and you can be seated. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. We'll pray. Lord, as we pray tonight, thinking of different people of our church family who have had some things happen in the last number of weeks of challenging, and you've been faithful. All of us have challenges before us living in this world, and we pray for your hand of help and blessing. We think about the great start today and the reminder of that the mission statement of Jesus, that there he's preaching the kingdom and there are places that need to hear, and his driving passion to move to the regions beyond him. And this really what is our passion as well. So, God, we pray that as tonight, as we see these presentations, get some updates, that you would help us to be people who are more in tune and more capable of praying with knowledge, and people who see the great value of partnership with missionaries to the regions beyond. And so we pray your blessing in all that is done tonight here and then in our congregational care groups. So we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated.
Today and throughout this month, we're talking about the importance of winning others for the cause of Christ. And the song we're going to sing tonight reminds us of that, that we do that one by one. Let's sing this together. We'll sing it through twice this evening.
One by one, we must bring the lost to Jesus. One by one, we must tell them of God's love. Take your cross, bear your shame, boldly go in Jesus' name. We must bring the lost to Jesus. One by one, one by one, we must bring the lost to Jesus. One by one, we must tell them of God's love. Take your cross, bear the shame, boldly go in Jesus' name. We must bring the lost to Jesus. One by one.
We'll continue singing. It's a song we sung this morning, but it truly speaks to us as we seek to live for the cause of Christ. You may remain seated as we sing this song this evening.
For this cause I live, for this cause I die, I surrender all for the cause of Christ. All I
sing it again in just a moment, but as they have the words, if they're thinking about those words, it's great to learn, it's great to be able to sing, but look at the words we're singing. To live, to die, to give all for the cause of Christ. Think about that as you sing it the second time here.
For this cause I live, for this cause I die, I surrender all for the cause of Christ. All I
service, we're going to have two video presentations. Two of them are, each of them is unique. They're both church families from from our own church family. The first video that you'll see is the McCrum family. And this is going to be, it's not a typical missions presentation. It's just Brother David talking about some of the things that are happening in South Africa with the church that they planted and turned over to national leadership at the end of this last term. And even with COVID, how that has changed their plan in that regard. And I think you'll enjoy this. And I think you'll really it's a video prayer card. So I would encourage you to, if it helps you to write things down to pray about with, as Brother McCrum has asked us to do so. So this is David McCrum.
We've been your missionaries to South Africa for over 16 years, and I just wanted to give you an update from this past week. We're sending out a letter as well, but I spoke to several of our pastors in South Africa and also some sister churches, and I just want you to please be praying for our people there in South Africa. Our plans continually are being edited by this COVID, and South Africa, in just the last few weeks, the case infection rate has just skyrocketed. The government is clamping down again. Some schools closing, churches not being able to meet again. And this was a real discouraging time for our people. They were moving forward. Things were happening. The church there in Emalahleni just opened up, had their missions conference, raised Bibles for the French immigrants, and were looking at taking on another South African missionary for a certain term. And things were like, okay, we're ready to go again. And then the infection rate is now close to 1 per 40 people, 1 out of every 40 people. Almost 1 out of every 40 confirmed. And in many of our churches, I know where you are. You're facing it in different levels, but most of our churches now having loss of life with family members, also several in ICU, some hospitals closed so because of being full. So whatever we're facing here in the States with all of our political climate and other things, if you could just receive this at face value and just please pray. You know, I think back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 where Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, about the pressures they were facing. He says, we were pressed, and these churches are being pressed as well. They do not have the infrastructure that we do, even to be able to make this video and post it to you. So they don't have access to internet and data, most of our people, where they can just go online and just get it done. And so most of our people are being, in the different churches, are being reduced to ministry through WhatsApp. My wife just heard Sister Corleen's ladies' lesson over WhatsApp. Just listened in on that this last week. And so please pray for your missionaries. Please pray for your churches. And what does this mean for us? I talked with Pastor Miles. We've been planning these pastors' conferences and pastoral training. And he said, David, we can't. There is no group activity. We need to delay these things. And so please be praying for us. Our hearts continue to sink every time we get news like this. But pray for us. And let me give you some encouragement as well. There in the north, with Pastor Stembiso Maklongu, their church has been able to recover some. They were vandalized over December. The church was, you know, without meeting. Their church furniture was stolen. And a kid's Sunday school class in Utah gave over $700 that went to South Africa. And Pastor Stabiso's first thought was, we can buy our chairs back, you know. And the irony of buying your chairs back after they were stolen, maybe you're even getting the same ones. But they were encouraged by that. The church in Emalahleni, even in their poverty of, you know, losing so many people, losing jobs, having to move away, the church numbers have been reduced. They were raising money in South Africa to give Bibles to the French immigrants, in spite of the xenophobic nature that filters through to our community. There, they were saying, how can we take on at least one new South African missionary? And my heart was challenged by their desire that even in their affliction, they're saying, how can we still do for God's kingdom? And that was a challenge to me and to us. I want you to be encouraged that the churches are staying faithful. And Julie and I are as well. You know, we're excited that we could not do this without your partnership. And let me encourage you, if you've been involved in missions, you've partnered with us and there in South Africa, that these churches continue, that they are doing it, and that it is not only becoming generational now with Sabelo coming on board, now fourth generation of South African preachers, that it's generational and it's exponential, that God's church is going forward. And so though COVID is hammering South Africa, God's work goes forward. And please pray for us. Please pray for the work in South Africa, that God would strengthen and encourage and give us wisdom for next steps and how to go forward. And I had another prayer letter written to send out, but just this last week, my heart was discouraged by this news. And I'm going to ask you, just please pray for us. Pray for these churches as you would for your children. They are our spiritual children, and they need us to pray with them. And Paul said that in 2 Corinthians 1. He said, you helped us. You prayed for us, and God got us through. Would you share this with your church family? Encourage them, but really plead with the church family. Let us be praying, not just for South Africa, obviously, your other missionaries, but would you be praying for David and Julia McCrum to South Africa and other countries but also be praying for these churches as they continue in this difficult time. May God bless you.
Well, in a minute we'll have prayer, and we'll make sure we call out to the Lord for the McCrum family. We have another presentation. Now, this is a different presentation. This is another from our own church family, Ben and Marie Muldoon. This is their deputation video. They're doing really well. They've reached the 50% level just, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. So that's really great. And, of course, Ben and Marie have a mini Muldoon on the way. So we're looking forward to that. They'll be back in April. The baby's due in May. So but while they're on the road, they've been really had very good meetings, very busy with meetings. I wanted you to see their presentation again to remember to pray for them at they're at the outset of their mission ministry together.
Deaf people are found in every country, every demographic, and every people group of the world. But what does it mean to be deaf? It means to live in a silent community and never fully understand the hearing community around you. It means learning a local sign language as your first language that is communicated through handshakes and facial expressions and therefore has never been written. It means struggling to read and understand the spoken and written language of your own country since you have never heard the letters and many words look similar. It often means you have a connection and understanding with deaf all around the world and yet cannot communicate to your own family and pastor. It means all of your education has to be intentional, but around 80% of the world's 70 million deaf do not have any access to formal education. Due to these challenges, the deaf are the fourth largest unreached people group in the world. Please consider with me the deaf landscape in Europe. Resources are available to give many deaf a means of communication and some form of independence. However, after receiving a basic education, there are few deaf ministries or churches to teach deaf people the essentials of salvation, spiritual growth, and Bible doctrine. If they somehow learn of Christ, who will train them to become mature Christians, to raise their children, and worship God? Where could qualified deaf men go for ministerial training offered in their natural visual language, sign language? Few churches in Europe intentionally train deaf men how to study the Bible, preach, and start deaf churches. Yet, such trained men are desperately needed to reach and equip their own silent world. It is ideal to train deaf and hearing men within the context of a local deaf church to equip them to start deaf churches in other countries. We are Ben and Marie Muldoon, and this is what God has called us to pursue. I was raised in a pastor's home, saved at an early age, and called into the ministry as a teenager. The year I left for college, God called my parents to Papua New Guinea, which not only strengthened my faith, but made missions a passion. In college, God led me to help in a deaf ministry, and there I was introduced to deaf culture, language, and the great need for workers. I went on a mission trip to the World Deaf Olympics in Bulgaria in 2013, and I gained a burden for both international deaf and Eastern Europe. In 2015, I visited my parents in Papua New Guinea for 2 months and taught briefly at Bimuru Baptist Bible Institute. I discovered my love for investing in men and training them for the ministry. That same year, I was challenged to consider deaf missions by my mentor, David Bennett. After prayer and counsel, God clearly confirmed my calling to the deaf, to Eastern Europe, and to training men for gospel ministry. To prepare, I completed an MA in Biblical Exposition, a 1-year ministry apprenticeship program at my Sunday church, a year of advanced missionary training, and I began to intentionally disciple others in their Christian walk. In 2018, I went to Africa with a team to train deaf men for 5 weeks and was freshly motivated by their hunger to learn. I am thankful for God's preparation for our ministry in Romania. It's also exciting to see how God has prepared my wife for this ministry.
I was raised in a Christian family and saved at a young age. I felt led to missions as a child and prepared myself for ministry as a teenager and young adult. To this end, I was involved in church, took several mission trips, and became certified to interpret for Spanish-speaking patients at my hospital where I worked as a registered nurse. I later joined my church's deaf ministry and led several deaf events. In 2017, God led me to Honduras to start a deaf ministry in Beacon Baptist Church under the authority of Pastor Matt Goins and the wise leadership of Baptist International Missions Incorporated. During my 3 years there, I learned Honduran Sign Language and deaf culture, and then trained a hearing couple to start a deaf ministry. Their training included sign language classes, visiting deaf people, and attending deaf events and deaf ministries in surrounding cities. When I left Honduras in 2020 to marry Ben, this couple continued to develop the deaf ministry in spite of limitations due to COVID. I'm excited about using what I learned in Honduras to minister in Romania and beyond.
Romania is a strategically advantageous location to plant a deaf church and Bible training institute for several reasons. Romania is a part of the European Union, making it more accessible for deaf. Romania's dark history of communism has fostered a desire for things Western, meaning there is acceptance of other religions. Romania's economy is one of the fastest growing in the European Union, but still has one of the lowest costs of living. Therefore, deaf could reasonably live off of less here than in other European countries, and even find part-time work while studying if necessary.
Dionisi Planton is a deaf man in Romania who's been called to preach the gospel. I heard him give a testimony of being called to serve God, but yet he asked a group of deaf leaders, who will disciple me? Who will train me? Who will teach me the word of God? No one had an answer. And that day I told God, with your help, O Lord, Silent Word Ministries International will find someone to go and train Dionisi Planton and others like him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ben and Marie are an answer to our prayers.
Marie and I aim to develop men such as Dionisi Planton and deploy them to be deaf disciples. We want to train men in the local church to reach the silent world.
This will take time, and we will need help.
Will you pray for us? Will you partner with us? Will you join us?
Brother Phil's from missions. Can I give you just... I have three other things to pray about for three families that are from our own church that are in times of transition. The Gunter family, of course, they turned over and nationalized fully, transitioned to another national pastor where they had been. And so they're in a time of transition. And then their health issues. Lisa had surgery this week. She had a cancer diagnosis a couple of weeks ago. And they're hoping that this surgery got the cancer. But they have some real questions about what the future is going to be. And COVID has really messed up their time frame, access, all of those things. So pray for the Gunters in transition. Pray for the Knights in transition. Of course, they're ministering to United States military in Iwakuni, Japan. And they were home, of course. And then Alicia, they were home for furlough, going to hope to go back to Japan, have their baby there and all that. Well, everything changed. Brandon is back now, but it's hard to pastor that church on the other side of the world, but it's not good for their family if she's here and he's there. And then Japan has had issues in changing the laws about getting access back into the country because of COVID this week. There was another change this week in their policy. And then even this week, after they said, this is our new policy, then they said, but it could be. And they just need to know what God wants them to do and the Lord to open it. So pray for them Knights. Then the other family I want you to pray for is the Barron family. Jim and Therese Barron, of course, have been in China for 15 years. They started, as you know, of course, working with Chinese national leadership. That's their real desire. Well, along the way, they were involved in international church, and they changed their focus to training internationals, primarily Africans who had come to China for graduate studies. And they were working, and that became their focus of ministry. They couldn't do the Chinese and the graduate or the training internationals. So they were involved in that international church, and they had things happen. So with things that happened in their lives this past year in that church, and then China's government is becoming very aggressive. Totalitarianism is totalitarianism no matter where you find it. And that is what's happening in China. And so the Lord clearly closed the door there. They're back in Indiana. They're taking a period of time as a bit of a sabbatical as they really seek what God wants them to do. Their real heart is to train national leadership. So I wish you would pray for the Barron family. They're willing to go anywhere in the world to do it. They just need God to show them where to go. And so for all these families, would you pray for them? The families that were, we saw their other presentation, the presentations. Phil's going to lead us in prayer, and then I'm going to preach to you. No, then I'm going to have you go to congregational care groups. I'll give you instructions and all of that. All right, Brother Phil, come pray for us.
I don't know about you, but I have a long list of things to pray for. So I hope that that you've gotten a few things to pray for as well. And together we can pray for all these things. And there's also a common theme of COVID-19, right? It's kind of messed up a lot of the things here. And it's no different anywhere around the world. Missionaries trying to get places they can't get to and trying to leave places that they can't leave. And let's pray for all of them and pray for these five as well that we heard about tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can come to you, Lord. I thank you that you know about all these needs. You know about COVID-19 and what it's doing, and yet your will and your plans are not thwarted by it. And we just are so thankful for what you've done for each of us, for our missionaries, Lord, for our brothers and sisters around the world. And I pray that you might just help them and encourage them through this time. As Brother David mentioned, many in South Africa are just not able to meet. There's no way to do internet services. And Lord, I pray that you might just encourage them and help them and just help as they're still trying to find ways to minister and to meet together and do things. And I'm just so thankful for the good encouragement things that we've heard from Pastor Stembiso and just the things that are happening there and with him. I pray that you might just continue to help them. Lord, help these brothers and sisters there in South Africa to continue to be faithful, Lord, that they may find ways to meet, find ways to encourage one another, find ways to study together, that you might help them. Lord, I pray for the McCrums as well as they're here trying to do what they can. And I just pray for them and their kids, Lord, and their families. You might just help them. Lord, we also think of Ben and Marie. And Lord, thank you for the good news of their support level hitting 50%, and just I pray that you might continue to bless them as they travel. Lord, help them to just be safe in their travels. Lord, I pray that you might keep them healthy as they're in different places a lot, and just help with their new little one as well. Lord, and just their ultimate plan of training deaf and hearing that can help deaf and hearing, specifically help deaf, Lord. I pray that you might just help them as they prepare for that as they get ready, that you might even prepare hearts now there in Romania for them when they can get there. And I pray that you might just help them as they try to get there, that you might smooth the path and get them there quickly and get them involved in the ministries there. Lord, we do pray for the Gunters as well. Lord, I pray for some health needs that they have, and then turning over their church there in Australia and just uncertainty, Lord, I pray that you might give them wisdom and help to know what to do. Lord, we think of the Knights as well, really in the same position. They're trying to get to Japan, but it doesn't look like they can for now. I pray that you might just give them wisdom, just help them to know what to do, maybe even provide someone there in Japan that could step up and help them, Lord. And then also for the Barons, Lord, I pray that you might give them a good time there in Indiana of just rest. But Lord, I pray that you might give them wisdom as well as they look to the next step. They're not sure where they should go. And I pray that you might just guide them and give them help. Lord, I also pray for those in China, Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ who are there, Lord, and who are really being persecuted. And I pray that you might give them strength and help, that you might help them to continue to learn and grow, even in this hostile environment, and just help them and their churches and their pastors, Lord, with all the things that they're going through. Lord, thank you that we can come together and meet tonight. I pray that it might just be a good time of encouragement and help to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me just remind you where you're going to go. If you are, I'll say if you're a member of this church, then you know who your pastor deacon group is. All right. I'll tell you where you're going to go. If you are here as a guest, you're an attender, but you're not a formal member, that you are welcome to go to a congregational care group. So what I want you to do, if you're a church member, look around. If there's someone you don't know there, just say, here, come with me. Come with me, and really reach out and do that. All right. So let me tell you where you're going to go. We'll sing and then you'll go. If you are in Pastor Alexander's group, you are going to be in the teen room on the second floor. The Boffman group will be in the young adult class, New Journey class up in the second floor back stairwell. The Hill group is going to be in the front of the auditorium here. The Potter Care group is going to be in the choir room down the hall to your on your right. The Snow group is going to be in the Home Builders classroom on the second floor. The Waltons group is in the fellowship hall. And the Wigginton group is on the second floor junior class. All right. So that's where you're going. And you know who you're going with, I trust. You all got cards and all that about it in the mail. So would you stand and let's sing for the cause of Christ. And then after that, make your way to your care group. Have a wonderful week.
We'll sing together. For this cause.